Hi everyone, and no one watching live because we don't get many live anyway. And Ipswich are playing Liverpool right now, so you know, but you should
I'll
probably
see you
watch
guys
it.
later.
Yeah. Look, if you catch me looking like this, that's what's on. Welcome to episode 371 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KSA.
Now that.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Needlessly tired, and don't even have a great excuse about like other weeks. Just knackered.
We're getting old.
I don't think I'm getting old. I think I got old a while ago. I've been old since I was about 21. And as you know,
Fair.
that is 9 plus 10. Well, basically, we'll get through the Brentford game fairly quick because it's nearly a week ago now, because we thought we'd be back on before this. But that was about as good a point as you're going to get at home, I think.
I think so. I think given how they'd performed on the opening day, we were kind of expecting them to be a good team. And for the first half, they mostly looked like they had an extra man.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen us not have a kick like that for 45 minutes in a long time. That is an excellent finish from Alexander Isak.
And then it just one of those things you just kept looking at. And then when we won the ball, we just would lose it very quickly. And I know Farke said that we had to be more daring, but I don't think it was necessarily a lack of trying for the difficult pass. I think it was misplacing fairly simple passes at the best of times.
Yeah, that's more what it looked like to me. I like, you know, nothing. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. I think it's fair to say that a lot of it was also that they pressed us really well, so no one had any time on the ball. But some of those passes we did have time on the ball, and they just missed. But also, having seen it back, it's a good strike. It's more bad goalkeeping. yeah, we just couldn't get out, could we? And I suppose the biggest positive that I took out of that half was that we didn't have a kick for 45 minutes against what I think is a good side. That I think right now, I think they're going to finish in the top six this season. And they only really had a couple of chances.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think if I remember rightly, at half time the XG was something like 0.4 to 0.04
Yeah, that sounds about
in
right.
their favour, I will say.
Yeah.
Which again tells you about the threat that we posed
Well,
for the
wasn't
first
our
half.
biggest effort in the first half that sort of Ampadu?
The laboured volley.
The word speculative would be doing a lot of heavy lifting from about 30 yards.
I'd have said speculative if his body language didn't make it look like he'd given up halfway through. Like, ah, oh, just yeah.
Yeah, it was more
I
like
don't know if he
an NFL
realised.
punt, wasn't it? Just
Like, I don't know if he realised halfway through again, I shouldn't be shooting. Because we all know
Yeah.
he shouldn't be shooting. But yeah, there was a lot of praise for how Brentford set out, and they very much took advantage of having an extra body in midfield, and we struggled to contain them. Like I thought we defended the penalty area very well for them, but there was a
Yeah.
lot of crosses in that we dealt with fairly well. It was just that we had so little to play off of when we were trying to bring the ball back out.
Yeah, I would agree. Like the actual box defending was excellent. If that's onside, that through ball was unbelievable. 2-0, Isak again. Yeah, the box defending itself was very good. We'll come on to it later, but I may as well, just because it's relevant now. Like I thought Mohamedovic was the man of the match by a decent amount, and that's including him late on doing a really stupid thing that nearly cost us a goal. Like that's how good his box. He just won everything.
Yeah, and again, when you've kind of invested in the defence the way we have, and you've built on obviously the profile of bringing big people.
Yeah, big bastards FC.
So aerially, I thought we did very well with it. 'Cause you'd probably say in amongst all the possession that Brentford had, Thiago wasn't getting a lot into the game. But I think that was mostly because it was Sharda or a 30-yard diagonal ball going wide.
Yeah. Sharda's really good. I will talk about it now, because the goal, even though they weren't having loads of clear-cut chances, it was very much coming. Like, everyone thought we were going to concede, and then we did. Ball ends up on the left with Lewis Potter. Good cross in. And this, like, sort of deft flicked volley from Sharda is absolutely outstanding. In the ground, we went, so I ain't finished that. And then I saw it back and went, oh, that was actually better than I thought it was.
Yeah, like you say, it's so well guided, and it's just always curling away from Trafford as well.
Oh, two goalkeepers out getting near that. It was a brilliant finish.
And like you say, I think, because it comes, what, around 42, 43 minutes? It's towards the back end of the first half, but...
I have still got it opening tab, 41st.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But I think we were on a spate of making clearances and it just going straight back to Brentford, ball going back in. And I think we'd sort of been in that position for what felt like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, it felt like 10. Yeah. One of the things I thought that was interesting with them tactically is that they were playing a back four, but they were still playing with wing backs.
Yes.
Like, they were not fullbacks. They were all the way up all the time. And, like, us going the other way, we had so little. I genuinely think that, like, with the ball, when we got it to Okafor, we had a threat. And he did have the beating of Coyote. And beat him a few times and put... He couldn't quite get the cross right. A couple of them were bad crosses. There was one that was quite good. It was just unlucky. There was one where he got shown so much of the outside that I might have been able to beat him on the outside. Because he was
going inside.
But he went inside anyway. which was a bit of bad decision making. But basically, and both of the best moments of that were like Bogle crossfield balls. But we just had nothing with the ball and just couldn't get out. The only change of note obviously came, I don't know how far in it was, about half an hour. 34. Where Joe Roden comes across, makes that good covering run that he always makes, comes across, clears it and stops and covers his mouth. And you're hoping he's been backhanded because he gets hit in the head all the time and it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
But no, hamstring, which he did also pull up holding his hamstring against Forest in the Cup and kept playing, but not so much luck this time. He's out 8 to 10 weeks.
The gaffer tape has lost its stickiness at this point, yeah. And his hamstring is gone,
which will be a huge miss. But yeah, you just have to get on with it. And as Farker said after the game, quote, "Thank God we have Nico Elvedi." And I thought he did pretty well when he came on.
Yeah, another very solid game for me. He is slotted straight in, kind of following on from the Forest League Cup game as well. I suppose the thing with him, and we'll probably come on to it later on, but unless you keep with James Justin as the right centre back when Goodmanson's fit, you'll obviously, I think, kind of lose that Joe Roden bombing forward thing.
Yeah. The Joe Salah.
Yeah. But the good thing is now, and especially we've had a few reinforcements, I feel a lot more comfortable about that than I would have done on Monday.
Yeah. The second half was one of them where at the start of the second half, I had to look at you in the stand and go, well, if these changes don't work, I can't get mad at Daniel Farke. Because I said, we need to take Biel off and go to a four and put an extra body in midfield. And that's what he did. Wilson came on for Aronson, but more importantly, Tanaka for Biel. Switched to a back four. And I still think it took 15 minutes for us to grab hold of the game a bit, but it definitely improved us.
It's a weird, like, not to kind of jump ahead. With the majority of the substitutes, I think individually, they didn't actually play particularly well, but the overall shape just worked better for us.
Yeah, I've only written that in the notes specifically about Dan James.
Hmm.
About how just his positioning and beat holding width and that really seemed to help us. I do think Tanaka had a good game when he came on, but not a great one. Wilson was very different to Aronson. Like, he was popping up in a lot more areas, picking up the ball. But again, I couldn't say he was brilliant.
Yeah, but it did force them to have to be more defensive minded, and because we, as you said, first half, the fact that they had two wing backs in a back four and didn't really have to worry about the wingers.
No, and whenever we went long, I mean, Collins and Ayer, were both really good in the air against
bigger bastards. FC.
Yeah, they were both really good against Calvert-Lewin in the air. And on the couple of occasions where Calvert-Lewin did manage to win something, or even like make them both miss it so it just fell somewhere, we didn't have anyone within 10 yards.
Yeah. So it was the nice thing to see that we kind of went with the brave move and essentially went to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah. With Stack as mostly the 10.
Yeah. And to be fair, with that midfield, it does allow if Tanaka goes on, Stack has the ability to kind of drop in a little bit.
I was surprised at Wilson being for Aronson. I thought it might have just been like straight Wilson for Beal, and just go with a proper number 10. But
yeah, it was quite interesting because obviously you then get Metcha coming on as well.
It was James for Bogle and Metcha for Okafor with about 20 minutes left.
Yeah, so Dan James has a period of being the alleged right wing back. Metcha kind of went back to his coming off the left, but
he ended up very central a lot of the time.
Yeah, and Wilson was there, and Calvert-Lewin was there. by the end we sort of almost ended up back at a back three, because then you ended up with Ampadu dropping in as the right centre back. I think we had Tanaka basically playing as a lone centre mid.
Yeah, it was a bit. It's the way it always happens, isn't it? If you do push everyone on and get an equaliser after you've made five subs, if you want to switch back, you're going to have to put some square pegs in round holes.
But yeah,
we managed to get in. Basically, we had nothing until James Justin had a really good long shot from about 30 yards that they had to tip wide. And from then on, it was almost as if us finally managing to have an effort of note made us go, oh, no, we can. And then there was that little bit more. We pushed forward a bit. We were able to pin him back a little bit. And the goal itself was a really good goal. Ampadu with a low cross into the box. And it's basically all about Metcher. His first touch to take it away from the defenders is brilliant. And then he just puts it across goal and Calvert-Lewin has a tap-in from 5 yards out, middle of goal, in the Calvert-Lewin line.
Yeah.
But he's still there.
Almost very central.
Yeah.
And that's one of those moves that you are told time and again, if you are wide in that area, smash it across goal.
Yeah.
It will hit something. And yeah, but I think by that point we had got ourselves into a game, and we were probably similar to what they were in as much as we were having a decent amount of possession out wide and getting balls into the box, not necessarily troubling Kelleher, but we were spending a lot more time in their half all of a sudden.
Yeah, I did see there was quite a lot of Leeds fans who were like, oh, by the end, we should have won it. And I think that is an overcorrection.
Yeah.
No. Like, I do think that we were much better. I think we could have nicked it, but we definitely didn't deserve to nick it. I think a point, to be honest, by the end, a point was probably about right. But after 45 minutes, like, a point seemed so very far away.
Yeah. It was And as part of you think, despite the fact I'd, you know, I we'd seen that Brentford game and you were there going, no, they are a good team. There is part of you thinking playing like this at home is not a great start to the season. But to come back into the game and see that, yeah, you know, we'll rejig the team and it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I was very pleased with it by the end. And it's a good, and you know, you get 4 points from your first two. You can't massively complain.
If we keep averaging 2 points a game, we'll probably be fine.
Yeah, if we average 2 points per game, we'll probably be in the Champions League.
Chat, nobody knows what 2 times 38 is. Like, come on.
That's just a fool of a man from the draft board. We've mentioned a few. Like, I didn't think Stack had a great game with the ball, although he was pretty good without it. I definitely think Moremovic was man at match. Ampadu had an odd game because he got moved around a lot. But he was fine. Was there anyone else that sort of stood out to you?
No. So like I said, there was a lot of average performances in there. I think, like I say, Muramovic was excellent. I'm trying to think. James Justin, another decent game from him.
Yeah, Justin's just good in. He seems to be at least good in every game. I liked Elvedi when he came on. He did have one very fun 20 seconds where he wound up in the number 10 position and had the ball and had no idea what to do. He looked right, left. He fainted a couple of times and just didn't do anything and then got dispossessed. And then got it back after someone else cleared it up to him. Really good touch, good through ball, unlucky that it got intercepted. Like, God, why? So on instinct, you're okay. It's when you've got time.
Yeah, it was... I'm sure at one point you looked at a bloke in the crowd and went, well, like, what do I do? I don't know. Pass it, I get a high, it's gone. Never mind.
But defensively, I thought it was pretty good. We'll come on to whether he's going to start the next game late when we talk about Brighton. But Leeds finally got to do a don't go to bed just yet without pissing off the entire fan base, because quite a lot happened on deadline day. Probably in order of impact on the first team, least impact. Largie Ramazani's gone to Burnley.
Yeah, for someone we didn't seemingly want to send out on loan.
Yeah, season-long loan, but it sounds like it's an obligation if he plays not that many games. Because both clubs have sort of tweeted about it like it's permanent. So I'm assuming that's what it is. Apparently it's 6.5 rising up to 8.5, which I think we paid about 10.
Yeah, after a couple of years.
So that'll be fine. Financially, you know, I still think he's a good footballer, but the fact that he has been kept so far away from the team makes me think there must be somewhat more to it.
Yeah, because it was odd because he did start that season well.
He was our best player for about a month, and then he got injured, and he just never really got a look in again. Not a proper one, anyway.
And like I get that a lot of that was down to the form of James and Solomon.
Yeah.
But really just was not in contention at all after that.
The fact that he didn't even get used in pre-season.
Yeah.
Like, he was in the bomb squad, basically.
Yeah. It's like they are players that I'm aware exist. They are not, you know, they are not with the team. Yeah. Although it was odd seeing Matteo Joseph's name on the
I was about to say the exact same thing. If he's going to be fit by November or December, there's no point in not putting him in the squad when we don't have other people. Because what if Metcher and Calvert-Lewin both get injured?
Like, yeah.
It is the only sort of relatively back-to-goal striker we've got. So
he does also fall as a homegrown player as well, which I'm assuming is probably boosting his reason for getting into the squad.
It's why it definitely doesn't hurt. And I think that even with him, we've only got 24. We've still got room for another one if it came to it. But no, Ramazani, because he's at Burnley, it's sort of a, I hope you do well, but not too well.
Yeah.
I wish him no ill.
Yeah.
Slightly more impact on the first team, probably. Sam Chambers has gone on loan to Northampton.
Yeah, that was an odd one, because I sort of found out about that the next day going through the BBC page of deadline day moves, because it wasn't on the Leeds Twitter feed that day.
Oh, was it not?
I know, because that's what I based off. I was looking and going, oh, okay, he's gone. I'd have announced it, maybe, but
yeah. I watched him play a couple of 21s games, and he'd moved to a more infield. He was playing like as the number eight. And he was doing pretty well. He looked pretty good. As always with kids of that age, we'll see how he does when he's playing against blokes.
Is he not a right back anymore?
I don't think he ever was, even though he definitely played there. It's probably good for the outside shout of Benny saying he'd be the first new international. Because if you really rip up trees at Northampton, you might get in a Scotland squad.
Mm.
It's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. Yeah, and then the main one, who Farker might have chosen to use maybe 10% more than Sam Chambers, Willie Nonto's gone to Fiorentina. A season-long loan, the option is £18 million, apparently. £18 million.
I think it's low for the potential he has, but I think it's about right for how we've used him the last couple of years is why that's the fee.
Yeah, because like those Everton bids when Nonto threw his toys out of Pram and wanted to leave and everything, they were apparently about £30 million, weren't they?
Mm. What a reality we could have lived in.
You see, I still think we were right not to sell him then. And he probably scored enough important goals for that to remain the case. But we just haven't played him enough. It's the ones that are bad when we look back at the bids for Melier and stuff like that. Those are the...
Yeah. Like, it's sad, because I think that incident aside, he is a very likable lad.
Yeah, and I... Look, you know, if you refuse to play, you take your shit, you got booed, you got all the abuse... all of that stuff. But he did also like sack his agents, didn't he, and everything afterwards. And
yeah, I think it was within about a week he got, no, I've played this totally wrong.
Yeah, I if a 25-year-old footballer had done what he did, I'd have said, nah, fuck him, and that's the end of it.
Hmm.
But he was like 19.
Yeah.
He's a kid. Kids do stupid things. And the one thing that I will say is you never saw him not put the effort in when he was playing.
No, he's always been a worker, with legs like Tony Yeboah. Mm. He's a very good player, I think, who, under any other circumstances, I think those 2 years in the Championship could have absolutely torn it up.
Yeah,
if he'd have been played. And we'll always go back to how it took so long for Farker to give him a couple of goes as the number 10 when Aronson wasn't doing well.
Yeah, the bit when he was woefully out of form and he just kept picking him.
Yeah. But he always seemed to maintain some level of belief in him, because he did come on a lot as a sub. It was for 20 minutes, but he came on most games.
Yeah, if you only read number of appearances, he looks like he plays all the time.
Yeah. But the bit I know about Italian football, I'm doubtful it would be turned into a permanent move.
Well, the other thing is, and I don't know exactly because I haven't watched loads of them, but they've also signed a winger from Sporting Lisbon, of Fiorentina, who is meant to be really good and scored like, you know, 20 goals, 15 assists or something last season.
Yeah.
So whether that'll impact it as well, I don't know. But there is also that Italian football doesn't appear to have any money. It's got a lot more money than French football does. But
yeah, and similarly to kind of Perry, because did he go just before deadline day?
I can't remember when that happened. I haven't put him on this list, but yeah, he's gone to Torino. I think that we talked about him and Zeta last time.
Yeah, it was one of those, it's basically done.
Yeah.
And I think we signed Zetterum the day before the game, didn't we? I think he signed on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, because it was Cairns that was on the bench Sunday.
Yeah.
And then I think
it was either the Friday or the Saturday, because I was in York.
Yeah. Which again is another one I don't see it becoming a permanent move.
But... No, that one I'd be very surprised. Especially, I believe he made a bit of a bollocks on his debut as well.
Brilliant. We spoke about this walking into the ground that like we don't successfully convert loans in even if it's not to a different club. Like none of our loans come back and someone goes, well, he's played well, we need to sign him.
Yeah.
Like the Peru one will probably work out, but that's just more you're putting a really good striker into a division he does very well in.
Yeah.
But like the period of Aronson, Verber, Harrison, Rocker, and Co all going out on loan. Most of them being shit. And I think we got like, did we get 500,000 for Robin Cox? They basically made his deal permanent in the January when his contract was expiring. Or something
I don't know.
Like
I thought that he's just expired, but to be honest, he's...
I think they jumped the gun with it, and I think they paid as a fee.
Like we got we got a few million for Christensen.
That's the surprising one.
Yeah.
Mark Rocker, I think we did sell, didn't we? And he
not for loads, but yeah.
Yeah. But I think he just settled back into a team where he didn't have to run again.
Yeah.
Good for him. I never had an ill will with Mark Rocker.
Just the wrong player in the wrong league.
Just a terrible signing for a Jesse Marsh team.
Yeah. but yeah, I would currently expect us to get Nonto back in a year. And to be honest, I'm not so against that. We'll see what happens with him.
The hope is, and I suppose it's the hope with most of your loanees, regardless of whether you want to sell them later on or whether that you want them to develop. But the hope is that Nonto will go over there and you hope he gets sort of 12, 13 goals and a good amount of assists, has a really good season and comes back and at least has a bit of value to him to where we go, right, well, he's not going out on loan this year. This is the fee we want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing, he goes out and has a season like that, he's probably back in the Italy squad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh God, I saw one of my favourite Leeds Twitter missing the jokes.
Hmm.
Someone quote tweeted his like first interview with Fiorentina saying, see, he already knew Italian. He's been planning this. What a, you know, and the number of replies going, is Italian you more like really mad at him? Just going, no, he knows that. Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, he's very much one of those. Good luck to him. And wherever we are in a year, I just hope it works out for him.
Yeah, because I'm very much a fan of 3-0. Oh, no, is it offside? I can say he's a hat-trick after 30 minutes. But I think he's offside. Someone who is unlikely to be offside very often is Melvin Bard. On a season on loan from Nice. KC, have you ever watched this bloke?
I think I've read some of his plays before, but I don't think I've seen him at left back.
Yeah. So, look, this, provided he doesn't turn out to just be fucking useless, this makes all the sense in the world. He's been playing regularly at left back. He has also played a decent amount of left centre back in a free. He seems like a fairly big lad. The loan is like $500,000. The option to make it permanent is like 4.5.
Mm.
Played in the Europa League a decent amount. He's been playing week in, week out in the same league that Goodmanson was. Like, to be the backup, this makes all the sense in the world, provided he doesn't fall victim to the Leeds United left-back curse, where he'll actually just will have found him passed out behind a pub.
If he can be Stephen Warnock instead of Federico Bassoni.
Yeah. I mean, Federico Bassoni, that's not the worst one you could have said.
It's up there, though.
Yeah, but he's not Lawrence de Bock.
That's a summer special. It's just listing off bad left backs.
Yeah, oh, there's so many. But yeah, like, this guy,
McCartney.
There would be no point sitting there going, oh, I definitely know he's going to be good. He is the exact player that I wanted. Someone who covers left wing back and left centre back. That is what I wanted. I just have to hope he's some good now.
Yeah, and I think more so than the left centre back is the fact that it's someone who is an actual left back.
Yeah, Michael in the comments saying the same thing, that he can play left centre back, which does make me pleased. One that the other deadline day signing, which happened like, I don't know, midnight or something. It was a bit after the deadline. That I'm a lot more excited about is Jean-Mateo Bowyer. And when he said it himself, it almost sounded like Bowyer.
Yeah.
It's like Bowyer. Yeah, so like, we'll see if we can get the pronunciation
Bowyer,
out like.
Bowyer.
Yeah.
Bowyer.
Season-long loan from Frankfurt for about $1.5 million with an option around 20, which is not much. Now, I haven't watched him much lately, but when Frankfurt had that really good European run a couple of seasons, I did watch this guy. He is fucking rapid. And it's not just, oh, he's quick when he gets going. That first 2 yards, he just goes.
Yeah.
And he looked really skillful. He looked direct. He looked like he really liked to come inside and have a shot. He's quite similar to Okafor in a lot of ways, I think. But more pace and a bit less strength.
Yeah. It's one gives us a different option. And I think now all of a sudden you're sort of looking at our bench and thinking, actually, there's quite a decent bit of talent on that bench.
Yeah.
You know, whereas obviously over the summer you were seeing a lot of sort of Cresswell and the 21s kids.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of game time, and all of a sudden you've kind of fleshed that out now.
Yeah.
It is an exciting signing. Ed, you're always like a player who's fast.
Yeah, and that is one thing that this guy is. Like, he is properly quick. I don't remember exactly what the number was, but the speed he got recorded at, it's the fastest recorded speed of a player in the history of the Bundesliga.
Is it faster than Patrick Bamford, though?
Oh, I don't know about top speed, because Bamford's top speed was always weirdly high.
Yeah. We never saw it. Somehow he was running faster than Dan James.
Hey, we might do now. That's something that we didn't mention in the Brentford game. There was a very weird moment where Dan James got put clean for one goal and checked back and slowed up and let Keane Lewis Potter get goal side of him before he dribbled to the edge of the box and I think tried to do a chip into the far corner.
Oh, it was a bad effort.
It was one of when we were saying how the team looked better for James in it because of the structure, but he wasn't playing well. I know he's had bad hamstring injuries, but if he's not willing to just sprint for goal when he gets put clean through, like if you're not willing to do that, that's your thing.
It was too much space in front of him, I'm telling you. It's Nico Alvedi. There was too much space ahead of him. He panicked. If he'd have seen Keane Lewis Potter a bit earlier, he'd have got away from him.
I'm looking forward to watching Bowyer. Obviously, he might not even be on the bench this weekend. Maybe he will, but I certainly wouldn't expect him to start. The other good thing is as well, there's been a lot of games where we need a threat off that side, and while Okafor's there, we've got it, and then he goes off and we don't have it anymore. In theory, this should be the end of that, because you've got someone else who can do a very similar job.
I mean, now, like, when you're looking at your wide options, because obviously Dan James wasn't there for most of last season.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when you're looking at basically got five wingers, you know, and they are good. I think they are very good options. I think you've got a few players that offer something different. Where you've got, obviously, if you've got a couple with very direct pace, you've got Okafor, who is not quite as fast, but is very good at, you know, in 1v1 situations.
I haven't seen many wingers beat Coyote that frequently.
Got Wilson, who is technically very sound. And Brendy as well is also up there.
Brendy was... He didn't have his best day, did he?
No, I'd slate him more, but none of the attackers did. So it would be a bit unkind.
No. And I did say going into that game, I would have picked him as well for this one.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't tomorrow. So yeah, on to tomorrow. Brighton away. Leeds have got a tremendous record at the Amex. We've not we've never won. We've never won at the Amex since the stadium opened. We've had a couple of draws, like two or three, and we haven't scored in our last eight visits.
Oh God! I mean, we did not play well there last year. It was
Pretty dreadful. Wasn't that game two of Farc not learning his lesson? First one was out away at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Where he tried to play his way out and then we did it here and just gave the ball away in his own third a couple of times and conceded goals.
Yeah.
Which you would think he's watched Brighton v Villa and learns, don't do that.
Yeah. So hopefully it should have sorted itself now because we're good. So it's all fine.
Yeah, obviously, we beat them on the last day, 1-0. Wonderful through ball from Sam Byram. I don't know why people keep mentioning Van Hecke. It's not to do with him. It was just great from Byram. they drew 0-0 in Tromso in the playoffs, but it was half a team, and by all accounts, they weren't really going for it. And then 4-0 win at home to Villa, 4-0 win at home to Tromso, and then got beat 4-3 at Chelsea. From that game, that Yalcuye, the midfielder that they've signed, who played in like number 10, he looked pretty good. They've got loads of talented players. They're still really young. Strauch is not getting in the team at the minute because they're playing a four, and at the minute it's Vuskovic and Dunk.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, I suppose. That Yalcuye is probably going to keep his place, given how well he played. And they played Kostoulas up front rather than Routaire, but Routaire has played a couple of games. The most interesting one is De Kuyper. He's probably going to stay on left wing because he's been playing really well out there. Even though he's a fullback, but he's so attacking. I mean, it's Brighton under Hertzler. They will press high. They will get after you all over the pitch. They'll try and play quickly through the lines. And, you know, they're a good side at home and we're a particularly poor side there. The centre mids aren't that amazing at the minute. Like, Pascal Gross is a really good footballer, but he's, what, 35 now?
Yeah, they do have... It's an odd one because you look at the players they recruit and they do have a number of players who are 20, 21, 22. And then some of the players that have been around a while now, you look at, like you say, Pascal Gross is 35, Lewis Dunk is very old in football terms.
Like, looking at the team against Chelsea and the expected team against us, we're expecting it to be Pascal Gross and Olivier Bascali. And I mean, Bascali is a centre-half.
They also signed a player from Castellón.
Oh, did they?
Matias Orozco. Oh, he's back, but he's back at Castellón on loan for the season.
Yeah. Because Hinshelwood's injured, isn't he? He started the season really well.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. I've just misread that. They've just sent him to Castellón.
All right. No, he is. Oh, he might be back actually now. Players they've got out, Mitoma and Yankuba Minta are out. CMS is out. Evan Ferguson's out. And Routaire and Yassine Ayari are doubts. For us, Rodon, Gruev, Matteo Joseph expected to be missing. Kadioglu that they'll play at left. If they're playing Kadioglu and De Kuyper on the same side, that is vulnerable going the other way. I could definitely see Bogle. If Bogle can get forward and we can get a 2-on-1 on that side, even if it's a 2-on-2, I reckon you can get away from that. So that please, I definitely wouldn't be playing Aronson for this one. I think I'd go back to Wilson Okafor.
Yeah, I think so. It was interesting because it was for a team that's kind of as well put together and generally has been quite well organised. Chelsea took them apart at this fairly early on in that game.
You see, I only saw like potted highlights of that game. Seen enough to tell. But that's what Chelsea were like against Fulham as well. They were brilliant and then they'd switch off.
Yeah. So it was one of those where you were watching going like, I know it's not an apples to apples comparison given the squads, but it does show they can be got at.
But the
one thing you will always say about Brighton is that they, the last few years, like their scouting has just been so effective with the players they've managed to bring in to plug the holes. Because you look at who kind of went out this year. Let's go back to that. Van Hecker was a big one going out. Danny Welbeck, I know financially not so much, but very big in terms of what he's done there. Belabor's going out. And yeah, they just go out and find some good players.
Yeah, they...
I was very interested seeing them sign Femi Azeez on deadline day.
Yeah, because he's one of them that his reputation is higher than what I see. Just it happens to be that the games I've watched him in, he hasn't been that great.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will I'll take some pleasure with that is that it is a blow to Millwall, who haven't started the season well.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
But, yeah, I will always say as well, I always get mixed up with Finner's house.
Yeah, that's understandable. But, by the way, just to get something to add, who is currently 23rd in the Championship?
Who did not get off to a good start? Because there was a couple of them. West Ham won yet?
West Ham are 12th, five points from four. They beat Wolves the other night, 4-2.
Yeah. Is it Millwall?
No, it's Burnley.
Ooh.
2 points from four games.
Yeah.
Admittedly, the last point was a draw against Middlesbrough, which I think will prove to be a good result because I still think Middlesbrough win the league. Although, as it transfer business wise, I think Swansea might be going to be good. The sign that Stephen Eustachio from Porto, the Canada mid.
He was a very good player on FM for a while.
He was really good in the World Cup, so we'll see. But yeah, looking at the Brighton squad, they've got, I mean, Promise David they've signed, again, speaking of Canadians. And he ain't expected to start this one, but maybe he'll get on. He came on with 10 minutes left for Kostoulas against Chelsea. So maybe he comes on. Matt O'Reilly's back from his loan, and I've always thought he was pretty decent as well.
Yeah, I've always quite liked him. I feel like he's going to be one of those that probably just ends up being on the fringes for a couple of years and then ends up having to move away, because I feel like they'll always look to bring someone in ahead of him. But
yeah,
I do think he's a good player.
Yeah, Mats Wiefer's been playing right back. He's pretty decent as well. Verbruggen is a very hit and miss keeper. Like I know that they all have mistakes in them, but he really does seem to. So I wouldn't mind testing him out a fair bit. Like, but I'm looking at theirs, and I think this will probably be about right. They've got Verbruggen in goal, Reefer, Vuskovic, Duncan, Kurdioglu. They've got Pascali and Gross in central midfield, and I keep thinking that can't be right. I know that they played that against Chelsea, but surely they're not going to be that negative with a central midfield choice against us. Like, maybe they'll pick someone else at right back and put Reefer in midfield.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll play like that Diego Gomez in midfield instead of on the wing, play him in with Gross, put like De Kuyper, Yalcoe, and who would they have off the right in that case? Maybe that Castagna that they bought because he looks pretty good, or just Promise Davies himself. and then one of Rutter or Kostoulis or Promise David up top. I'll probably say Rutter because I think he'll just be well up for it. And then he'll get on the pitch and realise he isn't because he loves us.
He's like, ha-ha, you guys.
Yeah. So, like, it's a good team that plays well, but it's not terrifying. Other than Elvedi for Roden, what do you think will change? Because I think other than that, I think it's just Wilton for Aronson and everything else stays the same.
Yeah. I think you're probably... Yeah, I think you're probably right with that. So I think Elvedi comes in. The fact that Gudmundsson was on the bench but didn't seem to get anywhere near coming on
makes me think I don't think he's ready to start. I don't think he's ready to start yet. Because if he does, it gets interesting. Because I would be very curious to see who he picks out of Justin and Elvedi at right centre-back if Gudmundsson's fit. If he wants the right centre-back to do what Roden's been doing and push up, then he should pick Justin.
Yeah.
If he wants a defender, he should probably pick Elvedi.
Yeah. But I think for now, I think you'll see... Yeah, Justin will stay there. Elvedi goes in at right centre back. Stack and Ampadu in the middle. I don't think his performance warranted it. Potentially Dan James on the right, but I think you're right. I think it's probably more likely Wilson and the Okafor out wide.
Yeah, I think I'd play them two off Calvert-Lewin. The argument for James is that they're. If they are going to play De Kuyper and Kurdioglu, they will both push on like mad. There should be a shitload of room for Dan James to run into if you did pick him.
Yeah.
And like, they are vulnerable to counterattacks, but I just don't think James is playing well enough to do it.
No, I don't think there was enough out of that Brentford game. Not that I thought Wilson was much better, but I think. I think Wilson is generally ahead of James in the pecking order there.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Other than Georgie, if he plays, who scares you the most from?
The bits I saw from Yakulia did look very good. It's very odd looking at their team now and just not seeing Danny Welbeck there.
Yeah. It was same in World Cup as well. That De Kuyper seems to get into really good positions. Just to get into shooting areas. If he was like a really top, if he was a really good finisher, it'd be, well, he'd probably have gone to Chelsea for 120 million. That's what usually happens.
Yeah. I mean, I was just having a look at Kostoulas as well. But again, it's sort of odd that they've now gone, you know, they've gone from, 34, 35 year old Danny Welbeck to 19 year old Greek child.
Yeah, but we've got, I mean, Promise David, who they've bought, he's like 25, I think. So he's sort of a more peak age.
Yeah. Just having a look to see what they've kind of done in the last couple of years, but.
Like we tend to defend set pieces fairly well, so I'm not going to worry yet. But when he was out on loan last season, that Vuskovic was getting on the end of absolutely everything.
I think there was a period when there was talk that we were interested, but I think it was made fairly clear that we were too low down the pecking order.
But we had no chance.
Because did Spurs? I think did they keep him around last year?
No, he was out on loan all of last season, but they probably shouldn't have done. They probably should have just played him.
Yeah.
And then they brought him back and were on about playing him this year, and Brighton wanted him. And Vuskovic made pretty clear that he quite wanted to go to Brighton. Because I think he might be being fairly well advised. But,
yeah.
No, go to... Yeah, you can sign for... But take this loan at Hamburg, where you're going to play every week. Oh. But Brighton want you, and they want to pay 50 million quid for you, go. They'll play you every week. And they're not a basket case like Spurs.
Yeah. It looks like that could be a very good signing for them, especially at a time when you've obviously you've lost one of your main centre backs, and your other key centre back is an older player. So I think it's quite a good pickup for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we'll be good. Got near Gomez Gang, and I'm not going to click on the profile. I'm just going to assume that this is Brighton fan, even though it's clearly not because it says we. But like, just going to accuse that this is Diego Gomez. Brighton missing three key players. Think we're enough to get a draw minimum. Well, I mean, they are missing some big players. That is true. Like, although they had sort of dropped Mitoma anyway, hadn't they? Which was a bit weird. But Jan Kuberminter's very scary, so him missing is a big thing. And Luther might not be available. I'll tell you right now, I would definitely snap your hand off for a point again. This is a place where we just don't win games. But I'm not going into it like we were last season, where I think, oh, we're going to play right into their hands. It's a terrible way. I think that we won't be stupid enough to do that this time. You know, we don't need to sit on the edge of this box and just defend. You can be more of a mid-block than a low block. But you, if we just push up and press them and press them, they'll just play around us and kill us. You can't do that against these.
Yeah. I think we were kind of in that period of, like you say, last year, we were still persevering with the 4-3-3, weren't we? And it didn't work. So I think it might be to our advantage to have the third centre back, who's probably not going to push on as much,
yeah,
in this. Whether that kind of frees up Stack a little bit more, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those where you look at that team and potentially whether they've still not quite had enough time together yet to properly gel. It could be something for us to take advantage of. Like I say, they some of the goals they conceded weren't great in that Chelsea game. So, I'd like to think we've got enough to get a point from it. It just, we've just got to make sure we're on it straight away.
Okay. What are you going for then, Casey?
I'm going to go for us to lose 2-0.
Yeah, I thought that might happen after saying with my draw. I'll be honest, the confidence isn't high. There's one exception, I'm sure you know who. Yeah, you've got us losing 2-0. I've got us losing 2-1. Alex has us losing 2-0. Little Danny has us losing 1-0. Benny has us losing 2-1. And Connie has us winning 2-1. We did both get 8 points, actually, for the last game because we both had 1-1.
Good times.
So yeah, I would always snap your hand off for a draw at a tough away game like that.
Ah. Sorry.
All right. Very much the opposite of Diego Gomez from Hare Hills. And sorry, I realised I'm in radio voice mode there. I actually said Hare Hills.
You said it like I would say it.
If I'm not on a microphone, that is Hare Hills.
I'm just looking back now at the 3-3 draw at their place. So
ooh, that's seven. Like what, 2011. Oh god, I knew I was at uni because I remember watching it at uni.
Yeah, Lewis Dunk started that game. Like,
Ross McCormack scored a late one, didn't he?
Yeah, so he gets a 90th minute equaliser.
Yeah, did we go 2-0 up?
Yes, and then 3-2 down.
Yeah. So I do remember vaguely watching this game.
And then...
Did Andy Keogh play for Leeds?
Andy Keogh scored for Leeds.
Yeah.
This is still Grayson's team. I will say, the fantastic two substitutes that come off the bench, everyone's favourite Finnish duo.
Oh, the Veyrinen and Forsell.
Yeah, they come off the bench. And Luciano Becchio comes off the bench for Andy Keogh.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Brighton had Vicente.
Yeah. Which was that one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The one who was like 36.
And they also had Liam Bridcut and Gary Dicker.
Nice.
Yeah.
God, Gary Dicker. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Ah, good times. Life was so much simpler then.
Yeah, can I go back to being a student? It was great.
Paul Rehobka was on the bench, so it wasn't all that. Peter Brezovan was on the bench for them.
Wow.
Which between you, me and Connie is a throwback.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny what that guy shouted. It was wrong, but it was so yeah, that I think will do us for the podcast. We are not confident, but we're not like completely despairing either, I think is a fair way to say it. A lot of the team news comes down to if Goodmanson's fit to start, because if Goodmanson is fit to start, I would play him and probably play Justin right centre back.
It's one of those where have we got the Chelsea Cup game straight after this?
I
should have checked this.
I think that it is, because I'm fairly sure that's Wednesday the 9th. So I think that that's the next game.
Yeah, Wednesday the 9th. I think if you're in any way doubtful, I would save him for the Newcastle game.
Yeah, and that's not till the Monday, so yeah, that gives him plenty of time. Quite looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to be exhausted because in order to go to that game, I'm having to do the finish 10 o'clock at night, start 5:30 the next morning, all of that stuff. So I'm going to be fairly tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that will do us for episode 371 of the Mike White's podcast. I've been Jack Sear.
I'm Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.